school community celebrates Elizabeth Peratrovich Day, and a cultural festival in Petersburg discusses normalizing the Tlingit language. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Corinne Smith. Those stories are up next. Haines students and staff celebrated Elizabeth Peratrovich Day on Wednesday with songs, speeches, and dancing to honor the 20th century Tlingit civil rights champion. The Haines High School choir performed, followed by elementary students singing and dancing. There were also demonstrations of Native Youth Olympic events, including the Kneel Hop and Scissor Broad Jump. Roughly 250 Haines students were together in the first school-wide assembly in 2 years.
Welcome, everybody. Today we celebrate the life of Elizabeth Peratrovich and her contributions to freedom and equality.
We don't want to fight no more. There'll be no more wars, and our children will play.
That was the Haines High School Choir performing for the Elizabeth Peratrovich Assembly on February 16th. Born in Petersburg in 1911, Peratrovich was a lifelong advocate for Native communities. She was instrumental in shepherding the first civil rights law in the nation in 1945 that ended legal racial discrimination. She died in 1958 in Seattle. The first annual Sitka Festival focused on bringing cultural awareness and revitalization to Petersburg through workshops and discussions. Part of that process is reclaiming the Tlingit language and indigenous place names. KFSK's Angela Denning reports.
In Petersburg, there are often Norwegian and English words on signage, like at the airport and downtown storefronts. The current town site was established around 1900 by Norwegian immigrants looking for a good spot to process fish. But the Tlingit culture goes back thousands of years before that. Petersburg's indigenous name is Sitkakwan. It means people of the fast-moving waters, referring to the Wrangell Narrows in front of town.
Sitka.
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 Leading this workshop is Hunne Lance Twitchell. He is an associate professor of Alaska Native Languages at the University of Alaska Southeast. He says using a language helps normalize it in a community.
Do you see it when you walk around? Do you hear it when you walk around?
He says adding Indigenous language to signs in public spaces can help, like the words open or welcome.
We can see it, and then once we see it, we learn how to make the sounds, we're going to be curious on how to read those things.
The Clausen Museum in Petersburg is starting to include Tlingit signage in its building, and that's something that Twitchell encourages. He says the Indigenous words can be in addition to other languages already present, like English and Norwegian.
Pushing back on these ideas that there's only room for so many things. Because it was called Sitka long before it was called Petersburg. Right? And so it doesn't mean that it can't also be Little Norway, but it can also be on the channel, right? And so these things, they don't have to compete against each other.
Twitchell has been advocating for restoring place names in Southeast Alaska for years. Sometimes names on maps can be racist and offensive, like Seduction Point on the Chilkat Peninsula. The English name, which was officially removed in 2020, referenced a sexual assault of Indigenous women by British sailors.
So there's a problem there that the Indigenous community has to live with these narratives. And it also becomes an insult on top of an act of violence against people. So then we want to sort of make lists of those and say, get that off all the maps.
There are offensive place names closer to Petersburg that are being changed, but it isn't a quick process. It often requires coordination between state and federal governments. Twitchell says another step to normalizing a language is teaching people correct pronunciations for existing Tlingit names like Yakutat, Cake, Klawak, Ngun, Skagway, and Huna.
Huna, Yakutat, Skagway, Ngun. I think there's resistance at first. Like, you know, someone was like, why do they want to change the name of Huna? It's like, bro, it's always been called Huna. It's just people mispronounce it. That's all we're doing is fixing the mispronunciation.
Another way of reclaiming the language is simply by using it. The more you use it, the easier it becomes. Twitchell says some people might not understand the motivation, and that's okay. It's part of the process.
Sometimes if a community doesn't have a regular presence of Indigenous activity, then people get nervous about it, and I think they express saying, I don't feel like I'm included in this. But it's really, sometimes people are saying, I don't know what to do here. I'm not used to this being present.
The Sitka Festival was held February 10th through the 15th in Petersburg and online. Guest instructors taught Tlingit, beading, form line, and held discussions on topics such as racial equality. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
The state is reporting 49 active COVID cases in the Haynesboro over the last week, up 11 cases since Monday. In Skagway, the state is reporting 4 active cases over the last week. According to the state dashboard, there are no new hospitalizations or recent deaths in Upper Lynn Canal communities. For KHNS, I'm Corinne Smith. Thanks for joining us. You can listen to and read news stories on our website at khns.org. You can also subscribe to KHNS News on Spotify or anywhere you get your podcasts.